Grace and peace to you and God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The story we read today begins directly where Genesis ends, the story that we read last week about Jacob's whole family coming into Egypt to escape the famine and finding that Joseph has become a leader in Egypt and is able to welcome them and give them a place to live in Egypt, the land of Goshen. Generations have passed between Jacob's family's arrival and this new king who rises up, the new Pharaoh in Egypt, who has no loyalty to Joseph. He has no memory of Joseph's work, no reason to care for these foreign peoples who are living there, and he is threatened by the sheer number of the Hebrew people in his land. And so he decides to make them his slaves. And we didn't read the story of Moses as a young boy. Many of you are probably familiar with it. Last fall, some of us in our Bible study through the Old Testament took a day to watch The Prince of Egypt, that Disney movie that came out a few years ago, imaginatively presenting the life of Moses. Moses is born at a dreadful time for the Hebrew people. In his fear, the Pharaoh has ordered that all of the Hebrew baby boys are to be thrown into the Nile. Moses, however, is put into the river in a basket, and he is rescued and raised by an Egyptian princess. As a young man, Moses sees an overseer mistreating a Hebrew slave, and he goes into a rage and kills the overseer, and so he is forced to flee from Egypt. As Moses is passing through Midian, he encounters the daughters of Jethro at a well. Now, if you're familiar with the Old Testament stories, you might come to notice that the community well is a little like Match.com for the family of Abraham. Isaac's bride was found at a well, and Jacob meets Rachel and immediately falls in love with her at the well. And so with Moses. When he meets these daughters of Jethro, he meets his wife, Zipporah. And so he becomes a part of their family and begins working as the shepherd for Jethro. So now the stage is set for Moses to take his role as God's spokesperson and the liberator of God's people. God appears now in the story and becomes the primary mover of all that happens from here on out. Now, notice that this is the third time in our Old Testament readings this month that we've read about God showing up as an angel disguised. When the three visitors visit Abraham, they realize that they really are welcoming the Lord at their table. And when the man comes and wrestles Jacob through the night, it turns out that he is truly wrestling God. And so he starts to look like angel here in these Old Testament stories means somehow the presence of God. And again, the Bible says the angel is in this bush, but it is clear that it is God's voice speaking to Moses. This time, there's not so much a disguise. Moses sees the bush, which is burning but not consumed, and he hears God's voice speaking directly to him. Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And God says to him, I have heard the cries of my people. I have seen their suffering in Egypt, and I am sending you to bring my people out of Egypt. Not surprisingly, Moses is not enthusiastic about this idea. He's just settled this new life that he has in Midian. He's a shepherd. Why me? He says. Why would Pharaoh listen to a shepherd from Midian? Why would I go back? I can't do this. He has so many excuses for why he cannot go. For many years in my life, I used to say, I would just like one burning bush in my life. Just once to have God speak right to me and tell me, this is what I want you to do. But as I've grown and studied, I've realized that usually when God shows up like in a burning bush, God is asking something extraordinary and completely disruptive of the people who get such visitations. Moses is sent away from his home to challenge a king and then to wander in the wilderness for the rest of his days. Elijah is sent to prophesy and offend a queen so that he has to flee for his life. Mary is told she'll have a baby. Being set apart by God in these ways has consequences, and I'm just as glad now that I have not met such a visiting angel. But arguing with God does Moses no good. God simply says, "Don't be afraid. You go where I tell you, and I will be with you. I am sending you to be my voice, my hands, and my feet, and I will be with you. And I will give you help as well." Then Moses asks, as Jacob did, "What is your name?" This time, God answers. It's a sign of the very special relationship that Moses will have with God. God will reveal God's self to Moses time after time on Mount Sinai, giving him the Ten Commandments, making Moses' face shine with the glory of God. And so here, God gives Moses a name, but it is a name that defies easy translation, even in Hebrew. "I am who I am," God says, or "I will be who I will be." Professor Mark Thronweit, who taught me Hebrew at Luther Seminary, said it's a bit like God is telling Moses, "What's my name? That's for me to know and you to find out." Moses will come to know who God is as God acts in him and through him for the sake of God's people. God's name will be revealed as God's character is revealed, as the God who hears the people's cries and acts to save them, a God who keeps promises, a God who walks with God's people. If you remember, again, the lesson from Jacob being named Israel, this is the God who wrestles with God's people. It is as if God is reminding Moses of those promises when he goes on to say, "Tell them that the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, the God of Abraham, of Jacob, Leah, and Rachel has sent you." God reminds Moses, and through Moses, all the Hebrew people, that God has made promises, and God is still acting to fulfill those promises. When the people finally come out of the wilderness, they will come into that land of promise that Abraham was promised for his descendants, and all of those promises to Abraham will finally come to fulfillment. So today in our services, we're going to baptize three people. We welcome three new members into the body of Christ gathered here at All Saints. We use a different formulation for God's name, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told us. It is an equally challenging name, a name that we too must come to understand as we live our lives of faith and we come to know God acting in our lives as Father, Mother, Creator, as Brother, Savior, Friend, and as the Holy Spirit that enlivens and nourishes us. Each of us comes with our lineage of faith, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It may be our family, our ancestors, Lutherans who came to this land generations ago. It may be friends who invited us to church, where we encountered the living God for the first time. It may be church members whose faith has inspired and nourished us along the way. This is the communion of saints, the people whose memory and work and faithfulness we have come to, has come to nourish us as we live in our faith. And so today, Anna and Viola and Jackie join us in that communion of saints. I don't think they know how much their presence here already has given us joy. Whenever we welcome new people into our community, we know again the spirit of joy in God's presence, the spirit of joy in the presence of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In baptism, we become members of the body of Christ. We too become the voices and hands and feet of God in the world. We are united by God's love, and then we are sent out to share that love in the world. In baptism, each one of us takes a part of that work we all share for the sake of the world. And in baptism, each one of us receives a part of that promise, the promise God made to Abraham and Sarah, to Moses, to Elijah, the promise Jesus gave to his disciples. You are not alone. I, the God who was and is to come, I am with you. As God says to Moses, so God says to us, I have heard the cries of my people who suffer need and oppression, loneliness and grief. So I am sending you. Go out in my name, be my hands, my feet, and my voice. Don't be afraid. You are beloved. You are mine. I will always be with you. Amen.